Amen. It is a blessing to be here this morning, and good to see each of you out this morning. I hope and pray that the rain at least will last long enough for us to get home dry, so we'll see what happens. But it is a blessing to be here. As I've mentioned, there are several sick this morning. I encourage you to keep them in your prayers, but it is always nice to be in the house of the Lord. And this morning, we're going to continue our series that is our theme for this year, which is faith for the journey. Faith for the journey. And once again, as we look at this passage this morning, I encourage you, even our young children that are in our sermon or in our auditorium this morning, I believe you'll be able to find something that you can take and apply to your life. I know as we go through Hebrews 11, you're going to find that a lot of the examples that Paul used or that he drew upon are many of the stories that we hear or we, I guess you say, read about as young children. If you're raised in church or if you raised in a godly home, and you think about, we've already discussed Cain and Abel last week. We looked at Enoch, how he walked and by faith went home with God. And this morning we're going to talk about Noah. Now, how many of you, we have children here this morning, how many of you children know the story of Noah? Noah is the one who built the, anyone want to tell me? Noah built the what? The ark, that's correct. Noah built the ark, and he built the ark under God's direction. And the ark was built in order to preserve life, as we'll find out this morning, to preserve life. Not only Noah's, but also the animal life. And today we're going to talk about faith, because see, Noah had to act and he had to live by faith. And we're going to talk about faith that overcomes the world. Hebrews chapter 11, if you are there, we're going to begin reading. And I want to read verses 5, 6, and 7, because I believe they do tie together a little bit. Verse 5 says, "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God." Then verse 6 says, "By faith, or but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." And then in verse 7 it tells us, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." Let's have a word of prayer this morning. Dear Lord, we come to you thanking you for your blessings that you've given to us. We're so grateful to be able to be here this morning and to be able to read your word. I pray today that we will, as we go through this passage and as we look into Genesis a little bit, I pray that you will open up your word to us and provide not only a spiritual teaching, but also I pray that you'll offer some practical teaching for us today, some teachings that we can take and apply to our life. And Lord, I pray today that we will, if we have not placed our faith in you, I pray today will be the day that you will challenge anyone here in their hearts, encourage them to place their faith in you. And for those that are saved, I pray today that we'll be strengthened in our faith. I pray that we will see the importance of living by faith. And I pray that we'll see the blessings also that come because of a faithful life. Thank you for allowing us to be here. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to talk about Noah this morning for the next few minutes. But I wanted to read Enoch, and then I wanted to read the verse that's in between these, because I believe they all kind of fit together. And here's why I believe that. If you look at Enoch, as we did last week, he is really the ideal. When you think about it, he is the ideal. He lived by faith. He walked with God, and the Bible tells us that he just went home with the Lord. That was it. He didn't have to suffer. He didn't have to grow old. He didn't have to face death. The Bible tells us that when the time came, God says, "Just come on home with me." You see, when you think about Enoch, he is the ideal. I don't know about you, but if I had a way to end my life here on earth, that'd be the way. I really think that's the ideal. But one thing we have to remember is that there have only been two men that have had this ideal. Enoch and, of course, Elijah later, who went home in that fiery chariot. So the percentages are not in our favor this morning. More than likely, unless God chooses to, more than likely, you're going to live here on earth And if the rapture does not occur, or if it does not happen in this generation, then you'll go home through death. That's how God has it planned. And so that's what will probably happen. So that ties us next, I believe, into Noah. Because see, Noah had to live his entire life on earth. And Noah had to live like we do. He had to live in the world and deal with the problems up until God ended up calling him home. You see, in Noah, we see an example of how we are to live, since God will leave us here until he's ready for us. We have an example how we're to live, and that is by faith. You see, as believers this morning, we are to live by faith and trust in God. Trust in His Word, as we'll see this morning, as He directs us here on earth. You know, we've already read Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. I'll read it one more time, and then we're going to make our way over to Genesis. But Hebrews 11, 7 says, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." If you have your Bibles this morning, please turn with me, if you would, to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. And I do want to read this passage. We won't go through this verse by verse because we'll take our outline from Hebrews chapter 11. But I do believe it's important for us to at least read this morning and see what occurred during Noah's lifetime. Genesis chapter 6, beginning in verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. And verse 4, "There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them. The same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." And then it continues on to talk about the generations of Noah. Verse 13 says, "And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth." And then verses 14 through the end of the chapter talk about the direction that God gave to Noah. Remember, God was directed Noah to build an ark. In this passage here, we find the blueprints for that ark. We find the purpose for that ark, and so forth. And then at the end of this chapter, in verse 22, notice what it says. "Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he." I want us to notice, to begin with, real quick, before we get into our outline as far as our message this morning, I truly believe that Noah was a saved man before he entered into that ark. And the reason why I say that is in verses 8 and 9, it says that he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. In other words, he knew God's grace. And it was not his grace. It wasn't Noah's grace. It was God's grace that he found. You know what the Bible tells us in Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9? "For by grace are you saved through faith." You see, salvation is an act of grace, an act of God's grace towards us. It's not a work of any kind. And I believe Noah knew that grace of God. And then here's the second reason I'll give to you why I believe Noah was saved before he stepped on that ark. The Bible tells us that he walked with God. You see, Noah found God's grace, and he also walked with God before he even began to build the ark. He walked with God. In other words, he was like Enoch, and he walked with the Lord. You know, it's interesting. Noah and Enoch are the only men that it said this of, that they walked with God. You see, Noah walked with God just as Enoch did. In other words, he had a relationship with God, and he was faithful to God. Now, this morning, as we'll see over the next few minutes, believers are to live by faith. You see, Noah was a believer. I believe he trusted in God. From that point on, he was to live by faith. I'm going to give you three thoughts this morning about faith. First, we're going to see that Noah's faith was established. And then we'll see that his faith encouraged. In other words, it motivated, encouraged him to go. And then finally, we'll see that his faith was evidenced. It was known not only to God, but to the world. Faith established. That takes us back to our our text. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7 says, "By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet," and it says, "moved with fear." This morning, I want you to notice that Noah's faith was established in God's Word. God spoke to Noah, and He warned him concerning the flood. No different than a parent speaking to a child, warning them concerning a danger. Saying, "Be careful, that water's hot. Be careful of this or of that." God spoke to Noah and warned him concerning the flood. Now, God told him a flood was coming. Now, this flood was not because of any physical reason. It was because of man's wickedness. A moral reason is why God was sending this flood. The Bible tells us, we've read it in Genesis, it says, "Every imagination and every thought was evil." Now think about that for a minute. Every imagination, every thought that took place on earth was evil. And it wasn't just for one day or one week. Evidently, it was continuously. Men and women lived in sin. They thought about it, dreamt about it, enjoyed it, planned it, and so forth. That was their life. And that's what God saw when He looked down upon earth. You know what I think is an interesting thought? When I was studying this out a while back, there's a man by the name of G. Campbell Morgan. He lived about 100 years ago. He pastored in England and in America for a little bit. And in his commentary, when talking about the wickedness of man during Noah's time, he lived about 100 years ago, G. Campbell Morgan did. In his commentary, he said this, just a simple verse. He said, "I don't believe it's that way today." I wonder if he wrote his commentary in 2013 if he still would have that opinion. I really do. 100 years later, or a little over 100 years later, our world has changed. It really has. And 100 years can make a big difference. And in this time, there are a lot of things that have transpired that I imagine he probably would have said, that wouldn't happen. But you see, sin reigns. And as we see today, it is easy for men and women to become corrupt and to turn from God. That's how it was in the days of Noah. And sin was so terrible that you know what God did? It was so terrible, He decided to destroy mankind. But remember, He had already given that promise that there would be a Messiah. So God wouldn't destroy everybody. And that's where we find Noah coming into play. God was going to send a flood, and Noah and his family would be spared. You know, there are some this morning who may say, "Well, you know, a flood? Really? Isn't that old-fashioned thinking? To think that a flood destroyed this world, you know, that's a myth. That's one of those stories we hear about in Sunday school, but it's not real." I'm going to give you a thought that I think is interesting. In the Smithsonian Magazine, Smithsonian publishes a magazine. They're the large museum there in Washington, D.C. And in their magazine, just this month, the February issue, they had an article on the Dinosaur National Monument, which is located in Utah and in Colorado. I've never been there. I've seen pictures. But if you go there, there at the visitor center, there is a large wall. And that wall is nothing but a rock with embedded bones. Most of them are dinosaur bones. And that the bones are embedded in this rock. And basically, it's a wall. It's the side of a mountain. And they use that as one of the walls for the visitor center there. And so if you'd go there today, you would be able to walk. And if you get online, you'd be able to see pictures of this wall. And you'll see all these bones. It's just amazing to look at that. Well, anyway, in their article, someone, they say, obviously one of the first questions that always comes up when people visit is, well, how did those bones get there? Because they say there's all different types of animals mixed into that wall. And here's their answer. I'm going to give you their answer. Now, this is an evolutionary magazine that believes strongly in evolution. And here's what they say. They say the prevailing theory is that they didn't, in fact, die here. They died elsewhere and were carried to this spot on a raging current by an epic flood. What? You say a flood? You know, the problem today is not that the evidence points to a flood. The problem is people do not want to accept God's version or God's, I guess you say, account of the flood. You see, if you go across this world and you begin to look, there is evidence that there was a flood, a global flood, a worldwide flood. Not only there, but throughout the world. And people understand that. The problem is they don't want to give God credit for that. Because see, if they give God credit for sending a flood, that means there is a God. That means He was displeased with sin. And that means men and women are accountable to Him. And people don't want to accept that. But that's the reality. That's what occurred. And all these, like that wall and other I could say places like that are evidence of a flood that occurred on this earth. You know, God spoke to Noah. Now, when he spoke to Noah, there was no flood at that time. And so when he spoke to Noah, it was a future event for Noah. Actually, according to the scriptures, it was about 120 years away when he gave the message to Noah. 120 years away. There were no signs or indications of a flood when he gave this message. The waters didn't descend until the day of the flood. And you know, most people believe that it had never rained before, based upon the account in Genesis, that it had never rained before. So it was a complete mystery to Noah and to anyone that he would share this message from God with. You know, to the world, I imagine to the world at this time, building an ark made no sense. Why would this crazy man go out there and begin building an ark? It doesn't rain here. The world's not going to be flooded. But you think about that this morning. To the world today, the fact that Jesus is going to return makes no sense. The Bible says that when He returns, that the graves will be opened, the believers will be taken up with Him. That makes no sense to many today. But just because it doesn't make sense to our world doesn't mean it's not accurate and correct. You know, when you think about what Noah was given, what he was told to do and what he told was come, or what was going to come, really when you think about it, it was against conventional wisdom. It was against common sense. And it was against any type of reasoning that could be done. Noah could not prove what was going to take place, and he had no evidence that God would send a flood. He had to go by faith. The world had never been flooded. There was not even a threat. I imagine the skies probably continued to be clear. The sun was out. There was never a threat of flood. Obviously, the ground had never been broken up so the waters could break through. And I'm sure, knowing mankind, the way men and women are, I'm sure there were many skeptics. I'm sure there were many that laughed at Noah. And I'm sure the scholars came out and said, "He's foolish. There's no way this can happen. We've reasoned this out scientifically, historically. Noah, you're crazy. This can't happen." So why would Noah continue? Simply because he trusted God. That's it. See, he had faith in what God told him. And this morning, that's what I want to encourage you with. Concerning established faith. His faith was established in God's Word. The world may laugh and the world may mock, but Noah probably always came back and said, "Guess what? God told me. God said so, so I'm going to believe Him." It may not seem to make sense, but God said so. You see, faith is the same today. It's the same in every generation. Noah simply trusted what God said. And because he trusted God, you know what? The impractical, the impossible became a reality. Because he trusted God. And by faith, he was able to look into the future and plan for it. This morning, I ask you, do you have faith? Do you trust God? Do you trust His Word? You see, faith, proper faith, should be founded in God's Word. Proper faith, I believe, should be founded in God's principles, right here. You see, when we read the Bible, we take this as God's Word and we trust it because God has said so. Why do husbands lead the house? Because God said so. Why do or should wives submit to the leadership? Because God said so. Why should children obey their parents? Because God has said so. Why do believers look for heaven? Because God said it's there. Why do believers wait for Christ? Because God said He'll return. You see, it's God's Word, and we trust God's Word. You see, to the world, it may seem impractical. It may even seem foolish. And they may even call us names and make fun. But when it comes down to it, it's faith in God and faith in what He has said. You know, this morning, I'd rather put my faith in God than the notions of men and women anyway. See, this morning, I ask you, do you have faith? And if you have faith, is it in God's Word? I hope and pray your faith is established in God's Word. You see, faith that overcomes the world is faith established in God's Word. Because the world, of course, will mock, it'll cause all types of problems. But God's Word will never change. It'll always be the same. Next, I want you to think about faith encouraged. In other words, faith that encouraged Noah, that motivated him, that directed him. You see, if you go back to Hebrews 11, verse 7 says, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet." That's the first thing. He was warned, he was told, and he believed. Then what happened next, it says, "He moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house." The old Scottish preacher, Alexander McLaren, said this about faith. He said, "If it has no effect, it has no existence." In other words, faith should change your life. And it should dictate your actions. And if there is no change, then perhaps faith is not found there. And you think about that. When you look at Noah, first, faith produced fear. Now that word for fear refers to caution, reverence, regard. It's not referring to like a paralyzing fear, as if you would walk into a yard and a large dog was sitting there and surprised you in the dark. That might be paralyzing fear. You just don't know what to do because it just cripples you. It's not referring to that. This fear that this is referring to refers to a reverence, a respect, a cautious fear, basically, is what it's referring to. Now, this fear was a result of faith. Why did Noah move with fear? Because he believed God. He believed God's word. You see, we must believe all that God says, not just part of what God says. Today, I believe that is one of the problems with our modern Christianity. Many people pick and choose what they want to believe. Some groups are even rewriting the Bible to fit their own notions. We must believe and accept all that God has said. Yet, if God is willing to pardon sinners, you know what that also means? That He'll punish those that don't seek His forgiveness. We must understand that. You know, many want to believe just in the blessings or just in the promises, but the judgments of God are real as well, and we must understand that. I think Noah moved with fear because he really believed God was going to send a flood. And he believed anyone that refused God would be punished in that flood. And so he moved with fear. You know, a fear of God's judgment. When we begin to fear God's judgment, that'll awaken our hearts, I think, to God and to walking with God. Those that are lost, when they begin to understand and fear God's judgment, will probably lead them to seek God's forgiveness. And then once we're saved, as we continue walking with God, and we begin to fear and understand God's judgment of sin, I believe that'll cause us to not only refrain from sin in our personal life, but it'll probably encourage us to tell others to get right with God, or encourage others to get right with God, and so they could have their sins forgiven as well. You see, that's what we find in the Bible, that fear was produced. Secondly, it produced obedience. In verse 7, he says there, he moved with fear, and then secondly, he prepared an ark to the saving of his house. So when Noah heard this, he was afraid, but he didn't stop there. The Bible says he prepared an ark. In other words, he was obedient to God's direction. And he immediately began to build that ark. He didn't delay. I don't know what kind of business he did before the flood. I don't know what kind of work he had. But the Bible tells us he began to build that ark. You know, I don't think his life was probably a whole lot different than ours. I mean, he probably had a job, or he probably had something he had to do to support his family. And he began to work on that ark. Maybe he did in the evenings. Maybe he did in his spare time. Maybe he did it on weekends. Whatever it was, he began to work on that ark. And he built it exactly to God's pattern. See, he didn't change it. He didn't look and say, you know, I don't know about this. Maybe I make it a little bit smaller. Or maybe we should cut this corner here. Bible tells us he built it exactly as God told him to build it. He followed God's blueprint. You see, Noah had never built a ship before. He probably never even seen a ship. But by faith, he followed God. You know, you think about this, it was complete faith. Here he is constructing a 3-story ship in the middle of dry land. That'd be like building an ocean liner in the middle of a continent. I mean, that's faith when you think about it. Could you imagine as he's building that, all the people walking by laughing and sneering? Who knows? Maybe they had people that lined up to laugh at Noah and make fun of Noah. Maybe he was on the news. Whatever it was, I'm sure everyone mocked and laughed. The Bible makes that clear, that people did mock and scoff. But he obediently followed God by faith. You know, when you think about this, the impractical or the impossible, if we're not careful, will hinder our faith. It will. Because what happens is we begin to reason. I'm not sure if that can happen. I'm not sure if God can do this or do that. But you know what the Bible does? Remember what Jesus said? With God, all things are possible. And that should settle it for us. When we come to God's Word, if He says He will do it, then we just need to go by faith and trust in Him. Another thing about Noah's obedience is he obediently served God, as we've mentioned a little bit, while the world mocked. Now, we know the world was wicked, and it was violent. And the Bible says that they ridiculed him. I imagine it probably was great. You know, Noah's fear, as a result of faith, was probably what caused him to continue. You know, he feared God more than he did those that mocked him. Kind of reminds me of Joseph. Remember, when he was tempted to sin, and he fled. And it says, because the fear of God, he feared God. You see, the fear of God, when you begin to understand God and reverence and respect God, that can give you the strength to get through any trial or difficulty or overcome any temptation. Because you respect and reverence God. And you say, you know what? The world may laugh and they can do what they want. I'd rather have them laugh at me than I would displease God. Because God is my God. God is the one who's given me this or shared this with me. That's what builds our faith. Also, you think about this. He obediently remained faithful. And this is where I want to stop for a minute and think on. For an extended period of time. You know, it's easy. But you know, we can have faith for like a day. 2 days. But you know, it's difficult to continue by faith. Noah had faith for an extended period of time. Now I think back, you know, when they chopped that first tree down to begin this work, I imagine they were excited. God had given him a message. I don't know if his sons were helping immediately. The Bible doesn't tell us. They eventually got on the ark. But when they chopped that first tree down, I imagine they were excited. I mean, they're beginning a new endeavor. It's like starting a new job or beginning a new hobby or something new is always exciting. And I imagine as they began to follow God and began to work on that ark, they were excited. But as time went on, I guarantee that work became toilsome. It became weary. You see, they began to get older. They were aging. And I imagine those trees began to get heavier as they continued to work on that ark. And during that entire time, the Bible says Noah preached. I don't know what kind of results he had, but we do know only 8 people got on that ark with him. Only 8 of them got on that ark. So obviously he didn't have a great success in his preaching. And as he continued to do the work, the Bible tells us the flood didn't begin until the day the ark was finished or until that moment. You know, it took him 120 years to do this, or was a 120-year period before the ark, or before the flood came, from the time that Noah received that message. I imagine 100 years into it, as Noah got up after 100 years, the sun still shining, people still laughing at him and mocking, and only his family helping him. You can't tell me that wasn't discouraging. He had to have trusted in God. That's all it was. He walked by faith. You know, I also find this interesting. It was 120 years. We're talking about a man of God for 120 years doing God's work without any results. And I imagine Noah was a lot like us. We enjoy seeing some results. At least, if nothing else, to know we're on the right track and that we're serving God correctly. You know, this morning, today, 60 years for a man of God, say a pastor or an evangelist, 60 years would be considered a long ministry. You know, there are very few men that have a 60-year ministry. And it's not because they don't want to. Usually two reasons. One, they start late because they're saved later in life. Or two, they're called home early. And so their ministry doesn't reach 60 years. But there are some who've had a 60-year ministry. And if someone has a 60-year ministry, we would consider that a long ministry. A fruitful one, that God had blessed them with a long life and a long ministry. Now think about this. That was double for Noah. But during that 60 years, it wasn't like he was receiving all these great blessings and people being saved and lives being changed. He went 120 years, continuing to do the same thing without all of the outward or, I guess, results that would motivate or encourage people. Noah had to live by faith. That's it. He just had to continue by God. You know, this morning, we stopped praying after a week. Am I correct? We pray for a week, nothing happens, we get discouraged. Or maybe we'll go a month. The next thing you know, we forget to pray for that prayer request. Or, you know, another thing happens too. We get discouraged. We witness to one person or two people and they reject God. And next thing you know, we don't want to witness anybody else. Or we're ready to quit after 6 months or a year of troubles. Noah went 120 years. Faith. When you think about this, for an extended period is difficult. And Noah had to have great faith. You know, this morning, faith that overcomes the world encourages us to move with fear and to obey God no matter what the situation. Finally, this morning, I want you to notice that his faith was evidenced. It says there at the end of verse 7, it says, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Noah's faith, it says he condemned the world. That word condemned refers to judging against somebody. He judged against the world. Now, it's not talking about him sitting in judgment. I believe it refers to his actions and everything that took place, that he condemned the world. You know, the people The people remain disobedient and unrepentant. I don't know why. You know, I've often wondered why people, you know, won't trust in Christ. I've even been asked that before. How come you believe people don't trust in Christ? And I'll just tell you, I don't know. All I know is that I did. I don't know why people continue. Some it may be pride. Some may be they enjoy sin. But you see, the people during this time, for whatever reason, they remained unrepentant and they remained disobedient and they continued. They lived in sin, and according to 2 Peter chapter 3, well, let's turn over there. We're not far from there. 2 Peter chapter 3. He gives us a little bit of a commentary on what took place. 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 3, it says, "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. He says, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire, against the day of judgment and perdition," he says, "of ungodly men." But what I want you to notice in that passage we've just read is that the people, he refers to the people back in Noah's day remaining disobedient, and he compares that to the last days, how in the last days people will remain disobedient and unrepentant, and they'll continue to live in their sin. You know, when you think about this, the world was without excuse. And I'm going to give you a few reasons why. First, they had the world around them pointing to a Creator. This morning, do you realize that our world points to a Creator? If we examine our world with an honest, examination, the world points to a Creator. And there are a lot of scientists, some who do not believe in God, who have figured that out and understand that. They understand that there is a designer. There has to be. Our world points to a Creator. So the world before the flood had to have pointed to a creator as well. Also, in Genesis chapter 3, the Bible foretold, or God told Eve and Adam and Eve, that there would be a Messiah coming. So the people were given a promise. Now, they didn't have all the details, but they were given a promise that the Messiah would come. And they had the preaching of Enoch, they had the preaching of Noah, and they had the testimony of Noah. I imagine every day as he went out there and he began to work on that ark, and the hammers came down on the nails, and they began to put that together, that entire time it was a testimony. Of course, to his faith, but also a testimony to God's word. God had said so. And so they were going to trust in God. And you think about this, they even had time to repent. I mean, it took them 120 years to build that thing. They had time to get right with God, but they continued in their selfish and sinful ways. And you know what happened? The Bible tells us that Noah condemned the world. His faith condemned the world. In other words, his faith displayed their foolishness. And it revealed their sinful, unbelieving hearts. Think about this. His faith in God compared to their unrepentant faith condemned them. In other words, it judged them. Because when God looked down, he saw this man here who lived in the same generation, the same time, dealing with the same problems, living and acting by faith. No different than today. You know, a faithful husband who loves God will condemn an unloving husband who has no desire for God or his family. The submissive wife will condemn the rebellious one. The obedient child will condemn the disobedient child. And you know what? The sound, faithful pastor in church will condemn the compromising churches out there. You see, what it amounts to is God will look down and he'll see those living by faith, and then these over here without an excuse choosing not to come to him. And that's what condemns them. You know, this morning you think about this. Noah walked with God while they chose to live in their flesh. And in the end, you know what happened? They laughed, they mocked, they scoffed, and it was proven that he was right. He was vindicated. It was proven that Noah was correct, that he trusted in God. You know, someday, when we stand before God, I don't know what's going to transpire from this point on. I don't know how long God will allow each of us to remain here on earth. But if you trust in Christ, you put your faith in God, someday when you stand before God, you will be vindicated. What I mean by that is you may have people that will laugh at you now, mock you now, make fun of you now. But when you stand before God, it'll become clear that you were correct. You put your faith in God instead of trusting in the things of the world, and God will bless you because of that. So I encourage you to trust in God, of course, for salvation, but afterwards, like Noah, to live by faith. You see, Noah, Here, the Bible tells us at the end of verse 7, it says, became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Now, I want to make something clear. I don't believe Noah was rewarded because he built the ark. That's what some would want you to believe. They want you to say, well, his righteousness came because he built this ark. And then they'll go off on their whole spiel of works for salvation. That's not the case. Like I mentioned, and I wanted to mention it up front so we understand it going through. Noah found grace in the Lord and walked with the Lord before he even received that command to build the ark. What occurred is that his faith was evident. It was made known as he began to work on that ark. No different than what James says in James chapter 2, verse 18. He says, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works. He says, I will show thee my faith by my works. In other words, if you're saved, as we've talked about a little bit ago, there should be some evidence of that. There should be an effect in your life because of your faith, and people should see it. That's what happened to Noah. It was clear that he was an heir, and righteousness belonged to him because of his faith, by faith. Notice it didn't come by his works, it didn't come by the law, but by faith. And it's no different than for us today. You know, Galatians chapter 4. Actually, I want to turn there, read this, and this will be our last passage this morning. Galatians chapter 4. And I want to read just verses 4 and 7. Galatians chapter 4. And this here is Paul clarifying, I believe, faith and works. So we can understand the difference or see the difference there. Galatians chapter 4. And it begins in verse 4. It says, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. You see this morning, if you're saved, if you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ, the Bible teaches, not only there, but also in Romans 5, that you are an heir. You are an heir with Christ. In other words, you now belong to God and you inherit the blessings that come with being in God's family. Obviously, Noah had faith not only in God for the flood or the ark, but he also had faith concerning the promise of the Messiah. He had to have. For him to know God's grace, to walk with God, to hop on that ark, he had to have had faith that there was coming a Messiah, that there was coming a Savior, and he put his faith in God. And by faith, not only did he enter the ark, but I believe he trusted God in every way. You know, faith that overcomes this world is faith that is evidenced. In other words, faith that is put into action, faith that is seen, and faith that is known not only to this world, but most importantly, to God. You know, in closing this morning, Jesus, in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus used the situation or the example of Noah, and he compared that to the last days, is what he did. He compared that to the last days. I'm not sure this morning if we are in the last days. I don't make predictions, but I will tell you this. We are closer today than we were yesterday. We're going that direction. We're not going the other way. We are heading towards the last days. And so we are getting closer to the end. You know, when you think about the last days, if we think about what occurred during the days of Noah, here's what we find. God was rejected and His word was scoffed at. That's what we find during the days of Noah, and that's what will happen in the last days. Also, God's preachers were ridiculed, and they were not heard, or they were not listened to. And the Bible tells us that the Spirit strove with men until He was removed. That's going to happen in the last days. The Spirit will be removed before the tribulation breaks out. You see, sin and wickedness were accepted, and they were promoted. And that's what we find. But you know, in the midst of all that, you know what you also find? A man who found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And a man who lived by faith. You know, this morning, as we conclude this message, there is faith that can overcome this world. There is. If you're saved here this morning, you can have faith that will overcome trials, that will overcome temptations, that will overcome difficulties, that will bring you into a walking relationship with God, and that will be an encouragement to you and to those around you. That's the type of faith Noah had. And that faith is not guaranteed with physical blessings, but that faith is guaranteed with spiritual blessings. And that's what Noah had. And in closing, do you desire that faith? As believers, do you desire to walk with God and have that faith that pleases God? You know, faith that believes God when everything else appears impossible. Faith that your prayers will be heard and answered. Faith that you can overcome any difficulty or trial. If you do, you find the answer right here. It has to be established in God's Word to begin with. And then it has to encourage or motivate us to obey that Word. And finally, it should be faith that is seen and known. I tell you what, if your faith is unknown because you're ashamed to make it known, then you need to step back and go either back to the first point or the second point. And once again, look at those so that way your faith will be evidenced. You know, this morning, I believe Noah was saved. That's where it begins with. And I hope and pray everyone here is saved, that you've trusted in Christ as your Savior. You see, I believe it's impossible to walk with God if you don't have a relationship with Him. And so, if there is no relationship there, get that taken care of first. And that's simple. That's going to God with a repentant heart, trusting in Christ as your Savior. Not from your mind, not with knowledge, but from your heart. And believing on Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible tells us, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." But you know, after you're saved, you'll remain in this world until God calls you home. It may be a year, maybe 20, 30, 40, 50 years. And as you live down here, you're to live by faith, trusting in God's Word and trusting in His direction. Dear Lord, we thank You for this day. Thank You for blessing us as we have this time of invitation. Lord, if You've worked in anybody's heart in any way, I pray this morning as we have this time of prayer that they'll get...